This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. Can you believe it? It's already the second month of the year. Before we know, this year will be gone. So, yeah, January has come and gone. And here we're into this next month. And this month, Frederick and I were thinking to talk about emotions. Because the program Intimacy and talking about addiction all the time, there's a very strong link between addictions and processing of emotion, or people struggling to process emotions. So, but as you know, listeners, Frederick and I like to share from our own lives and our own experience, also to be vulnerable and not just making it an academic exercise. And so we're going to share a little bit from our own lives, and also we're going to look at it from a biblical perspective, of course, because this is a Christian radio station, and emotions is not, that's not something we talk about a lot, hey, when we talk about Christianity. Frederick, what is your response to this?
You know, I think very often we are told to be in self-control, to have self-control.
Galatians 5:22, this fruit of the Spirit.
Yep, and then one of them is being self-control. And I think very often as believers, we interpret that as suppressing our emotions, because we are also often told in messages and in sermons that we should be unemotional, or we shouldn't depend on our emotions, and our emotions shouldn't determine our spirituality. And however, emotions do play a part. We cannot rely on and make that the foundation of our values. But emotions need to be dealt with and regulated.
Exactly. We are body, soul, and spirit, right? And our soul, I mean, our emotions are literally part of our body.
Yes.
So we get physically affected by our emotions. But our soul is contained out of our will and our emotions.
Yeah.
So we cannot just negate that. And if we look at the Bible, there are so many examples of dealing with emotions. Even Jesus, if we would take all the emotional words, the words describing emotions, and we would color it in the Bible, there would be many, many places. I was just thinking of Job, one verse that I remembered that says, "My heart is troubled and restless. Waves of affliction have come upon me." Of course, in books like Job, this is from Job 30, verse 27. Of course, books like Lamentations, the Psalms, mention is made of emotions all the time, and especially in Job, where so many terrible things happened, and he really had to go in. He wasn't shy, to talk about how hard it was and how difficult it was, and how he actually sat on a heap of ash and scratched himself. He was expressing his emotions, but sometimes we can really be uncomfortable with that as Christians, especially expressing the less nice ones.
And, you know, I think you were talking about Lamentations, and Lamentations 3:40 says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." And I think part of examining our own ways and ourselves and testing them is being aware of our emotions. So that we can take it to the Lord, so that we can return to the Lord.
Saying that, you know, emotions can be messengers.
Yes.
You know, when I'm angry, why am I angry? Maybe I want to protect something. It could be because the Bible says, in your anger, don't sin. It doesn't say, don't be angry. But it's almost like when I was a child, I just thought it's sinful to be angry. I shouldn't be angry at all. And if I'm angry, I'm sinning, you know. But the Bible specifically say, in your anger, don't sin. And I was thinking in Psalm 6, verse 6 to 7 says, "I'm worn out with pain. Every night my pillow is wet with tears. My eyes are growing old and dim with grief because of all my enemies." Just one of the many, many examples talking about intense emotions.
Yes.
And Frederick, and also, unfortunately, it seems like we're getting to the end of this terrible COVID that we've been struggling with for 2 years now. They say it's up till 3 years, right?
Mm.
They say the third year it starts dimming out. And it really seems like now with Omicron, where many people got the virus, people didn't get as ill as before.
Mm.
But I think so many of us these past 2 years have been experiencing intense emotions, many losses.
Absolutely, Suki. And then to say that there is a very close link between the feelings and the emotions, and especially with the intense ones. And I speak for myself, being restoring from addiction, and how that impacts the addiction and how I experience my addiction, how that impacts my behavior. You know, we have a little acronym called FAB, and that goes about your feelings that determine very often your attitude, and that determines your behavior. So it has a direct link to our behavior. And unfortunately, you were saying just now that feelings are messengers. And very often we see feelings either as positive or negative.
Mm.
And don't have the negative feelings, but it's okay to have the positive feelings.
Mm.
But the reality is that if I cannot engage and feel the so-called negative feelings or the uncomfortable feelings, I prefer to say, we cannot experience the happy ones and the comfortable ones.
Mm.
Or the so-called positive ones.
Mm.
So it's so, so important to be connected to our feelings.
Right, yeah. Frederick, and in this program, we deal with addiction, and we often talk from the person struggling with addiction, but also family members and friends of those people that are struggling with addictions. And then, of course, it's very relevant, not only to those struggling with addictions, because research has shown that there is that those struggling with addiction struggle to process emotions, especially the hard ones, and that there's a very strong link between poor mental health and addictions and the processing of emotions. So it's not only those that are struggling with addictions themselves, but also their family members and friends,
because
they feel helplessness to see this person that is destroying themselves often, especially if it's a substance addiction, by drinking too much alcohol, by using drugs or gambling or whatever, and not only destroying themselves, but often their families, because often there are financial consequences.
Yes.
And as we know, when addicts struggle, they often project their feelings onto their partners or their family or their friends, parents. And so it's a very important subject for us to learn to deal with this.
And I can really attest to that, Suki, because I have personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if I'm talking from an academic or a counselor's point of view, although I am a counselor. But it's really a reality that there were times in my life where I was totally not aware of my emotions. I couldn't even give emotions a name. I was either feeling good or I was feeling bad, a black and white. But there's a rainbow of emotions, and I very gradually had to become aware of emotions and feelings. Especially when I was at a counselor and he said, you know, you don't know what you're feeling. I said, actually, I don't. And he gave me a method to become aware of my feelings. So I became aware of the feelings, started giving them names. And after that, I got to a point where I could, in a situation, recognize those are the type of feelings that associated with that event or situation. And then later on, I had to start learning to actually engage and feel the feelings.
Mm.
And that is when the real recovery and restoration started in my life, when I became greatly aware. And then from that awareness, taking it to the Lord, taking it to others, taking it to myself, that the real healing and restoration started.
Yes, that's right. I remember those feeling wheels. You have several of them that you printed out and you put it in your journal. And then you would take that to try and figure out what were you feeling, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And, you know, Suki, it's almost time for the break. So let's, I'd like us to continue a little bit upon onto what are the tools that we have available, like the feeling wheels and so forth, to help us to become aware of our feelings and to engage in our feelings. So and how that links to the addictions. And we're not only talking about substance addictions but also process addictions.
Right.
But let's take a break first.
So sure. So Farik, you were mentioning some tools that are available, and I'm just thinking, often, as far as I understand addiction, actually the acting out in the addiction is fueled by overpowering emotions, right?
Absolutely.
And that's why it's critical for people struggling with addictions to learn how to handle their emotions.
You know, Suki, it's not only addicts that need to know how to regulate or deal with the emotions.
Absolutely.
This is applicable to all of us, you know, whether you have an addiction or not.
Of course.
Because there is the danger that, and we've heard this from many of our guests, and you will hear it perhaps from Alta or Elsha that we're going to be speaking to later on this month, that undealt with emotions, undealt with feelings, they can lead to behavior, like I said, with a fab, attitudes and behavior, and those behaviors can be inappropriate, and that can eventually lead to addiction. So we all need to know how to regulate those emotions, and it's important to recognize that these overwhelming emotions, these very intense emotions that you're talking about, they need to be regulated.
Of course, also for partners and family members of those struggling with addictions. And I will tell a little bit later from my perspective, but I just want you to tell us more about how you, in your addiction phase and in your recovery from addiction, how you were using, what tools were you using to help you? Because it doesn't help if you tell someone you're supposed to feel, but you don't feel. So what do you do?
Yeah. So I think the first tool would be to be knowledgeable, to recognize that there are feelings. You know, the old myth that women have a lot of emotions and men have few emotions, and that is often taught to us. It's often a taught behavior, is cowboys don't cry and so forth. But we as men, we have emotions, and they can be very intense. So if those emotions are not regulated, the first tool, I think, is to know that it goes into a certain cycle, because unregulated emotions often cause us to go into some form of fantasy. So if it is about drinking, is how can I relieve these emotions? Or it could be about gambling or working or gymming or sport, or substance.
Although some of those are more desirable than others, they are more acceptable, socially acceptable.
But if we have unregulated, undealt with emotions, it goes into the fantasy. And then once you start fantasizing, it goes into trying unconsciously to set up an acting out, or set up a way to medicate or to numb that intense emotion, and then it goes over to the acting out part.
So it would be someone thinking about maybe how he can buy that bottle of whiskey or whatever, and where he can hide it, and when can he start getting into it. That's the acting out. Or in another situation of drugs, how they can get the drugs, and how they can get money or whatever to buy the drugs. And
yeah, that phase is the phase where instead of driving home along the highway.
Mm.
You drive, say, oh, the highway is always so very busy. I'm just going to take this road, but very well knowing that it's going past the bottle store,
mm.
or it's going past a corner where there's a dealer,
mm.
or it's going past an adult shop.
Yes, right.
Or mm. so that is part of setting things in
up.
Place.
Mm.
So even if the person doesn't go into the bottle store or into the adult store, then they can do that. It is a setup process. There's a next step that follows that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, that's true.
But then I'd just like to continue, Suki. So once a person has acted out, in other words, on their addiction of choice, then it goes into despair, which is once again the intense feelings, the intense emotions, and depression, which need to be medicated. And how do we medicate? We start going into fantasy, and that's the addiction
cycle. Mm.
So first of all, we really need to be a knowledgeable and know about the cycles that we can fall into, whether it's an addiction cycle or just behavior that we don't want to do again, but we continue to fall in the same behavior patterns.
Mm.
And then another thing that is very, very important to do is to take an event, and I call it the IFATS, is take an event, see what feelings and thoughts and emotions one is experiencing because of that event. What was my response? And when I say feelings, is to actually give them a name and a percentage. I felt 100% angry.
Even if you need to use that... that
feelings wheel.
Yeah, that you can get from the internet. You can print it off.
Oh, you can get so many feelings. And then to go through a process of teaching and educating yourself on emotions and not just to react, but to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Because very often we react very quickly. But if we think back about the event or the situation, we think, but, you know, I could have done it differently.
Mm.
I could have done it in a better way. Mm. I could have responded. And then that is to eventually, if possible, go back and redo that event.
Right.
So that you can express that feeling, express the emotions, express the thoughts that you had in an appropriate way.
Mm.
And not just bursting out into some form of emotion.
Mm. Mm. Talking about that, the two emotions that are strongly linked with people struggling with addictions are anger and depression.
Mm.
And I think we will know many people that we know that are struggling with addictions and that struggle with depression. I remember with my dad how he was always just sitting on his chair. He didn't have strength to get up and he was just drinking because it was hard for him to get going because he was so overwhelmed by these emotions. And, of course, depression can be really, really serious and people need help for that.
Yes.
And then also anger, you know, and anger, when we say anger, we often think about people lashing out, verbal abuse or violence, physical violence. But there's also passive aggression, where some people struggle with silent treatment. They give you the silent treatment.
That sounds so familiar,
very
Suki.
Familiar, right?
You know, I can really relate to that, Suki, because, you know, for many years, I wouldn't consider myself as an angry person because I wouldn't raise my voice. I wouldn't lash out. However, that anger that I did feel, that I didn't know I was feeling, was actually internalized, and it becomes depression.
Mm.
So being depressed means that there is something underlying. There's something underlying that is causing that feeling. And it's the same thing. That is why there's such a close link between anger and depression.
Mm.
So that one really needs to look a little bit deeper. So if you're angry, you are not just angry because you're angry. There are some other things below the surface. Mm. And I have it's a pity we can't show images over the radio, mm-hmm. but if you can imagine an iceberg with a tip on the top that is sticking out, and that's the anger. But then below the surface, there's a multitude of feelings that go with that anger that could be making you angry or causing you to be angry. Something like anxious or shocked or shamed or belittled, disconnected, frustrated. So there are a number of feelings that go below the surface.
Right. And then also there's a way to have assertive anger, you know, not just passive aggression. We understand now all the reasons for the aggression and the anger. But assertive anger is healthy anger, expressing the feelings in a respectful way, talking to each other about our feelings, listening to the other person, to act maturely, not to act out. Hey, easier said than done. Hey, it's easy to sit here and talk about it, but it's so important to be able to learn how to have assertive anger, because if we don't have that, it will come out in an inappropriate way.
Yeah. You know, Peter Scazzera has two series, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality and Emotionally Healthy Relationships. And he professes and he proclaims, and very accurately, I believe, that we cannot mature spiritually or relationally further than what we have matured emotionally. And that is why the emotional maturity, and that's the theme for us for this month, is emotional maturity determines in a very big way how we relate to others, how we relate intimately with God, with others, and with ourselves.
Right. And I remember it was very hard for me as when you were acting out as a partner of an addict. I mean, I got so overcome with your emotions because I absorbed them. I didn't know how to deflect them initially. And I didn't know what to do with them. When I started, I was also frozen for a long time. I didn't feel. But when I felt my emotions, I became so overwhelmed that one day I almost got lost. I couldn't find my way home. I got so overcome by emotions. It's so overwhelming. And for me to learn to do that, so I had to learn to speak to the Lord about this. And not only that, to journal. I journal, Frederick. I have a journal that I use. They call it morning pages, where in the morning when I wake up and I feel depressed or very frustrated or whatever, I would write down everything unedited for pages long, just about what I'm feeling. And it's so interesting how the Lord often speaks to me as I verbalize the emotions and how eventually I come to an answer that I didn't even look for. But just by writing, I get to a solution. So that is also a tool, as we were talking about, tools to handle emotions and to find a safe person that you can talk to. Maybe not the one that you're struggling with, but a friend to get those emotions out. And also in a healthy way. Sometimes we can just dump our emotions on others, and that's not good, because if you have a friend, you will know those friends that just call you and they dump all your emotions and just like in a dustbin. And when they're done, they say goodbye, and that's not good either. Hey, in a healthy and an appropriate way, learn to listen to each other and to go out and to do nice things also, not just to get stuck in those emotions.
I get a beautiful fragrance of healing and intimacy that comes in community. And that intimacy becomes possible when we share our deepest feelings and thoughts, because that is what we're all really craving for, an intimate relationship with God, an intimate relationship with ourselves, and with others, especially with those closest to us.
Yes. So listeners, tune in this month as you want to know more about this. We have two guests we're going to talk to. They're going to tell you about their personal experiences of handling this and dealing with this and practical examples. So yes, make sure that you tune in.
Very, very welcome. And if you miss something, get to the podcasts at kpulpit.co.za, podcasts and Into Me See, or write to us at Frederick, suki@kpulpit.co.za. Until next time, bye and blessings.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.